Heavenly Father, we thank you that again we can come into the house of the Lord and sit under your divine mandate, the Word of God. Thank you that the Word of God is anointed and fully able to accomplish what you've sent it to do in our lives. We receive it tonight by faith and will by faith appropriate it and put it to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go to John 17, you just stay right there. I've got a couple of things I'm going to go through here, and then we'll go to St. John chapter 17. On our last time together, we went over a couple of scriptures here that I want to remind us of. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. You do not have to turn there if you'll just listen, because you're already in John 17. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." That means to hold firmly to our profession. So, why do we need to be considerate of our profession? Because when we find out what the will of the Lord is for us in rediscovering the glory of God, we need to begin to speak those things. Amen? Now, he is the high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and he is the one that is actually illuminating this truth within us by the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. It says this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses." And we touched on the fact that there are infirmities and weaknesses that we could think about, especially in regard to the natural life. And this is what the body of Christ has promoted more than anything else. But if we are to consider that God desires for us to rediscover the glory of man, the honor and the renown of man, then we need to realize that Jesus also went through some things and overcame for us in the area of appropriating and walking in that glory. He actually said that God glorified him, right? So he had to walk in a certain way in order for that to come to pass. He had to walk in obedience to God. That's why he made statements like, "I see my Father work and I work. I hear my Father speak and I speak the words that he gives me to speak." So he was referring to what's necessary. He's showing us his life is an example to show us what is necessary in order for you and I to walk in the same glory. Now, the Bible also says in the book of Proverbs, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So now, if I'm not thinking this way, if I'm not desirous of this, if this is not in my profession of faith, if this is not a desire of my heart, will I walk in that glory? I don't think so. Because I'm thinking a different way. Right? I'm thinking in an area that is not going to promote the glory of God in my life. Amen. So, all right. So now, he's a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows exactly how to minister to us to get us through the things that might be a hindrance to our walking in that specified place of God. Amen. Is God looking for glory in the earth realm? All right. How is that glory going to be exemplified? It's going to be exemplified through the church. Amen. It's going to be exemplified through us. Now, it goes on to say that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are. In all points, he was tempted like as we are. Well, you know the great accounts, the most famous accounts of Jesus being tempted to give in to Satan and to just abort the whole process of being glorified by God and walking in that glory was those three great temptations in the wilderness desert, right? And each time the Bible says that Jesus overcame him. He spoke a word, right? And the word that he spoke came from the word. And that word put Satan in his place. And then the Bible says that Satan left him for a more opportune time. He had to search out an opportunity to come back and tempt him again or to try to overcome him. Because Jesus was so precise in using the word in his situations and circumstances. Amen? Let me just throw this in. And I've said it before. The faith that Jesus used to overcome the devil is the same faith that you and I have today. It's no different. That it's the same faith. He didn't give us a watered-down, second-class version of the faith that he operated in. We're operating in the same faith. Amen? Now, when we know these things, we'll get the same kind of results that Jesus got, amen, as he walked by faith. Amen? Did Jesus had to shrink away from things that he saw by sight? He had to shrink away from those things just like you do. Because the world, the flesh, life presents things to us to make us consider it as being something that we should be concerned about. That maybe we should worry about that. Or even maybe that we should pray about. You know, there's a lot of things that Christians will be entangled with that they'll pray about that God can't do a thing about. Right? Can't do a thing about it. They're entangled in something or being presented with something out of the world in some way of in some temptation, and we're praying for God to take it away or to relinquish it or help us in some way. And he's given us that authority and the responsibility to use that authority just like Jesus did. Amen? Amen. All right. It goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So, did Jesus obtain mercy in appropriating the glory of God? He must have. Because we're being instructed to approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy as well. Right? So mercy is there for us just like it was there for Jesus. Amen? Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Right? So as we approach the throne of God, then it sounds as though if you're going to approach the throne of God traditionally in the body of Christ, approaching the throne of God is to petition God for something. Right? Right? But now if I'm not supposed to be praying for certain of these things that the world, that the devil, that life is presenting to me, just like it was presented to Jesus, then my going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy is not in a petitionary manner. It's not asking God. It's making a profession before God. It's like Matthew 18 and 19. You have power to bind and to lose. Now, who are you doing that before? Because the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if you're binding in the name of Jesus on earth, the throne of heaven hears that and the throne of heaven binds it. If you're loosing something on earth and you're loosing it as before the Lord who is in heaven, then heaven agrees with you and heaven says, let it be loosed. My son, my daughter said, loose it, loose it. My son, my daughter said, bind it, bind it. Heaven agrees with your profession of faith. Amen? So you see, it's not coming to ask God for something. You know, you're being equipped with grace. What does great grace do? Grace is what Paul was instructed to use. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Stop asking me about these things and let my grace equip you. See, it's the grace of God that allows us to be here as his ambassadors for Christ. He didn't have to allow that at all, but that was his kind intention. Right? that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made manifest to the principalities and the powers, the despotisms, all of the spiritual wickedness in high places. That was his intention. That's his grace that's poured out on us that gives us this precious opportunity and privilege to act as his ambassadors in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Scriptures just pour through me as I think on these things, and I could just go from one to another and just quote them, you know. Now, this is something here that the Lord pointed out to me that I thought was very significant. You don't have to turn there because you've already got these scriptures written down in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befit good trustees of God's many-sided grace. In other words, you are to be faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by grace. Ah, so you see, the grace has been administered. The grace is what equips you with the spiritual endowments. Ah, you see that? It's right there. It says that these extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor, by the grace of God. And those gifts are to be used. You say, well, all right, God has entrusted me with tongues and interpretations. Oh, but traditionally, in the Pentecostal charismatic move, we use tongues and interpretations in church. Oh, we shine in church. But what's wrong with tongues and interpretation at home? What's wrong with tongues and interpretations on the job? What's wrong with tongues and interpretation about your kids? Amen. Huh? I mean, if you get the interpretation to the tongues about your kid, then you don't have any more need to worry because you just heard from God. Now all you got to do is act on the interpretation that came to you. Then I prophesied. Amen. I put it in my mouth and I prophesied what God has said. Amen. See? Now watch this. So we got a responsibility then to pray that the Lord would teach us how to effectively use the gifts and the talents that he's given to us for the benefit of the body of Christ, my fellow man as well, that the Lord, that his great name may be glorified in the earth, right? And so we definitely want to be positioned where we need to be so that God can get the maximum use out of our spiritual endowments, right? And guess where that position is? That position is before the throne of grace. We need to practice the presence of God. We need to see ourselves in his presence. We need to see him instant to answer us, just like he tells us to be instant in season and out of season. The reason why he tells us that is because that's the way he is. Our God is instant in season and out of season. He is always there for us. It doesn't make any difference what we're going through, what time of the day, what time of your life, what you're experiencing, no matter who's going crazy around you, no matter what your money is doing, no matter what your body is telling you. Our God is instant in season and out of season. And so therefore, if we practice his presence, what we're going to be doing is using those spiritual endowments that we've been entrusted with in those situations, no matter what they are. We're seeking for somebody else to lay hands on us and pray for us. Right? Who was it, sweetheart? There was this minister. Bless his heart. There was this minister that was praying, and he laid hands on himself. And he just started getting drunk and just all messed up. And he said, Lord, he said, Lord, what's happening? You know, he just kept his hand on his head. The Lord said, take your hand off your head. The anointing in his life was just tearing him up. He was anointing himself and just getting drunk in the Holy Ghost, and he couldn't stand it. And he didn't know what was going on. The Lord said, take your hand off your head. I think it might have been Jack Cole. It's way back. I thought, Lord, that's pretty good. But that's a good example to show you. Look, if you can believe for somebody else, you can believe for yourself. You can. You're anointed. Hallelujah. Come on, deliver yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. So, praise the Lord. So we are in John chapter 17 and verse 22. John chapter 17 and verse 22. We will go over these scriptures once more. We're looking at the honor and the renown of believers, which means glory. It's the honor and the renown of believers. This glory, we want to rediscover the glory that we were entrusted with from God's kind intention in his heart from the very beginning. And we want to learn to live our lives walking in the power of that glory. That's what we want to do. Amen? Now again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you and I have to make it our job, you know. It has to be our intention to think on these things if we expect to experience them. Amen. I was just listening to some great music today, and as I was just relaxing and listening to it, I was rejoicing. And I decided, I just determined I'm going to rejoice in the truth in this music in regards to God providing for me. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. And so I just rejoiced in it. Amen. That's releasing your faith. Be specific. Don't just rejoice in good gospel music because it sounds good and makes you happy. Be specific. Designate your praise. Put your faith to work. Amen? He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. So I can be, Pastor Jean on her new album has got a song that says, "He's my healer." Is that the title of it? Amen. That what a great song to rejoice in regard to your own physical healing, and just praise God under the anointing that she's releasing in that song, and just thank God for your healing. Amen. Be specific. Designate your praise. Amen. It's just like Psalm 35, I believe, in verse 7. Let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. We're not his servants, we're sons and daughters. So if he takes pleasure in prospering his servant, how much more does he take pleasure in prospering his sons and daughters? So I have to specifically say, I'm talking to the God that takes pleasure in my prosperity. Be very specific. Designate your praise, designate your worship. Amen, because you're accomplishing something. Amen, I assure you, Jesus did the same thing. Because he said in the Psalms, I will sing of you in the great congregation of the people. That's what he said. He said that. So he did exactly the same thing. All right, John 17 and 22. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. So now, as we go back and retrace these, we'll just stop and we'll try to touch a couple other things. But the glory that God, now watch this, God gave the glory to Jesus. See, a lot of Christians cannot see Jesus having to become anything, having to attain anything. We got to get that ignorance out of our heads. Do you realize Jesus had to be born again? Your Savior had to get saved. Glory to God. Amen. He became sin. See? Took all of our sin upon him. He became sin. And he had to be born again. If God hadn't saved him, right? Do you know that there would be no possibility that he'd be in hell and none of us could be saved? Ooh, think about that. Thank you, Lord, for saving Jesus. Hallelujah. But you never said that in church before. Thank you for saving Jesus and letting him have the born again experience. Glory to God. Amen. Because now I can be born again. I am born again. Amen. So now, but God gave him the glory. I have given them the glory and honor which you have given me. God gave that honor and that glory to Jesus. He gave that to him, right? And he said that they may be one even as we are one, all right? So guess what? If I'm operating in the glory and you're operating in the glory, we're one. You see that? Well, maybe this is the reason why there's so much division in the body of Christ. Huh? We're not seeking the glory and the honor of God. Amen. Because if I'm seeking the glory and the honor of God, it's going to make me one with my brethren. Hallelujah. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. So what happens when we operate in the glory, we become one. And then as the body, we become one with the Lord Jesus Christ because he's in us. And we become one with the Father God. Amen. Oh, that sounds like the place where he can command a blessing. Ah, that sounds good, doesn't it? See what we're going to? I and them and you and me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, I know ultimately that's going to happen because the Bible says when Jesus comes back this next time, every eye shall see him, right? Every eye shall see him and they'll recognize that he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, and that God sent him. But if we operate in the glory now as Jesus operated in the glory then, and you and I are one in the glory and the honor, and we're one in Christ in the glory and the honor, and we're one in God with the glory and the honor, then guess what's going to be manifested out of our lives? Miracles. Miracles. And when you get miracles to an unbeliever, that unbeliever gets transformed. And the unbeliever begins to glorify God. And so on a big scale, when Jesus comes back the next time, every eye shall see him and he'll be glorified in this manner. And everyone will recognize that the church of the living God, the Christians are the right ones. They're going to see that. But that's supposed to be happening before he comes back. That's supposed to be happening now. And that's why the Holy Spirit continually jacks you up about your destiny and about your purpose, because you're supposed to be listening to him as he leads you to that glory and that honor. You cannot walk in the glory and the honor that God has prepared for us without having a definite mission in life. You have to know. You're not shooting in the dark walking in the glory. Amen. You're walking deliberately in what God has ordained for your life. Right. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. So now you see again, he's reiterating that God gave him the glory. Right? He's reiterating that. And again, I can ascertain from this that he's not talking about us being with him just in heaven. He's talking about us being with him in this, walking in the same faith, walking in the same power, doing the same. Because he said, you're going to do the works that you see me do and even greater works than these. That's walking in that glory. And that's to happen now.
Amen.
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 Oh, just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you, and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually. Isn't that good? And these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them. Now you're going to see right here what is a large part of your commission in life, no matter what office or election that God brings you to. He said, I have made your name known to them. Now, when you use a word like made, that's forceful. That's forceful. That's forceful. That's rowing upstream, because now you're operating in the place that God wants you to operate, and it sets you apart from just the normal life that most people live. Going to work, buying food, buying clothes, and doing these types of things. Now you're in a place where you're attending to the things of God. And the reason I say you're going upstream is because you're going against the status quo. Church-wise, world-wise, devil-wise. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going against the status quo. Church-wise, world-wise, and devil-wise. You're going against that now because you are giving yourself, you know, wholeheartedly to who you are in Christ for the purpose of glorifying God in your life. Because you're walking in the glory and the honor of God. Amen? All right. He said, I've made your name known. That's forceful. That's violent to the kingdom of darkness. That's violent. See? So when you have situations that come close to you, and somehow or another you have the understanding that you have a responsibility in this situation, you don't come under this human mindset that says, God, I don't know, what do you want me to do? You know, that old human expression. You know, I can't do that. You stop talking like that. You'd rather be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you or give you a vision of what you need to do. And you don't open your mouth until you hear from God. Anything that you say humanly and negatively and under the power of the flesh is contrary to what God wants to do in that situation. So you have to be quiet, even if it's to the point of embarrassment, because people will try to draw stuff out of you and make you talk, even if it's to the point of embarrassment. What did Jesus do? He was approached by these men and said, this woman has been caught in adultery, and the law says she must die. What do you say? Well, he stooped down and began to just draw on the ground. That didn't, what's spiritual about that? Right? And then why did he do that? I believe he was waiting for God to show him what to do in the situation. Just waiting on God to show him what to do in the situation. And then when God said, hey, just say this. He among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That just cut him to the heart. And from the eldest to the youngest, because the older ones realize that really, if you're going to be involved in keeping the commandment of God to stone somebody under the law, you can't do that in anger. You can't do it in the hatred. You can't do it in the flesh. So now, how do I feel about this right now? I got anger in my heart. I'm trying to use this to prove that this man is a false prophet. I'm willing to murder somebody to prove that he's a false prophet. So that word of God just cut him to the heart. See? And the elder ones left first because they saw it. The younger ones left after that because they were like, well, you know, what else is for there for us to do? These older guys, you know, they've been in this longer than we have, so I guess we just let this drop. Because they were just caught up in whatever was going on. They were just caught up in it. Like a lot of Christians get caught up in things and try to do everything that everybody else is doing, right? Just, you know, I can tell you, you can get in some situations, get around some believers, and you'll hear things like, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Well, because they've heard it in church. Or I rebuke you, devil, because they've heard it in church. Right? Very seldom, if ever, have you heard somebody come out with something that God specifically gave them to say that you had never heard before, and it answered the problem. Because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to train us. We haven't allowed him to train us to follow the Holy Spirit's word, the word of God specifically in every situation. You see what I'm saying? That's what Jesus did. He waited on the Lord. And he just played tic-tac-toe until he could get... Amen. Probably invented the game right then. All right, let's go on. Oh, just and righteous Father, although the world has not... No, I'm sorry. Verse 26. He said, I have made your name known to them. So I'm waiting on God, even if it's to my embarrassment, and revealed your character. Now, if I'm willing to wait on God, to hear from God, then when I act on what God has given me, then the character of God is revealed. You see that? The character of God is then revealed. And they get to see that. Now, that's what this is all about. That's what it's all about. See? Because that individual or that person or that group is going to be ministered to. They're going to glorify God. And if you glorify God, then you get the blessing of God on you. God can do something in your life if you begin to glorify him. He said, I revealed your character and your very self. So, I mean, this terminology to me means that Jesus was very intent on doing God's will, or I ain't doing nothing. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not taking any action unless I see what God wants me to do. Otherwise, you can look at me like I'm a fool all you want to. Like we used to say years ago when we first got saved, I'd be a fool for Jesus. Because we was out witnessing to everybody, you know. And people just calling us all kinds of stuff. He said, and I will continue to make you known. So this is what he was referring to when he said, I've known you continually. I'm going to continue to make you known. This is going to be my MO from now on in my life, is to make the Lord known. Like they like to say in our generation, my job is to make Jesus famous to somebody. Amen? That the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. So the love will be bestowed upon us, right? This love is bestowed upon us because of Jesus' obedience. Well, then love is going to be bestowed on others because of our obedience. Amen? All right, so honor and renown of believers. That's what we're referring to in that portion of scriptures. Now, we'll go to the second portion. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The reason we want to go here is because we have been mentioning the work of the Holy Spirit. Catherine Kuhlman used to say that the Holy Spirit was her best friend. That's what she used to say. And I like to say that, you know, her making that decision to allow the Holy Spirit to be her best friend paid off right well, because she was very effectual and probably the most famous of women ministers in the 20th century. Probably the most famous, 19th and 20th century, I guess you'd say. But most famous, you know, and probably the most well-known. But she was very effectual, and a lot of people were healed through her ministry, and a lot of people were introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit through her ministry. So we're going to have to, again, I've said this in other ways, but we have to come to terms with the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to come to terms with the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And remember, Jesus commissioned the Holy Spirit to come into the earth realm. And he said that the Holy Spirit would not have his own agenda. He said the Holy Spirit would not speak his own words. So that means he's capable of doing that. Why wouldn't he be capable of doing that? He inspired everybody that wrote in the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New. Right? He inspired them. So he could go back here and get any of these scriptures and put them together and give them to you. He has that ability. Right? But Jesus has commissioned him not to do that, but to only reveal, speak to you, deal with you about things that he himself is concerned about. Now that should show you how serious and how determined the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally is about believers. Remember, he's God, and he has every one of us collectively in his heart and knows exactly what needs to be ministered to us all at the same time. What a God we have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he's directing the Holy Spirit to give you exactly what is necessary for your spiritual enrichment. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The scripture says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now just stop there for a second, because you've all read that before. But listen to that. Now the Lord is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, in the most perfect sense, is here to represent the very person of Jesus Christ himself. Right? So we cannot afford to be abusing the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? Running from the Holy Spirit. Refusing to be led of the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit. Come on now. All of those things, we're doing that to Jesus when you do that. You're doing it to Jesus himself. See? And, you know, just a simple example. Well, you know, Pastor, God gave me a word to speak in prophecy, and I was just like, Lord, I can't do that. Right? Good example, right? Quenching the Holy Spirit, stifling Jesus' words to the congregation. Do you know what that is? You think it's humility because you see yourself as someone who should not be an outspoken person to speak out prophecy. You know what that is? That's pride. You trust more in your opinion of yourself than you do of Jesus' commissioning you to speak in that moment. And it's an honor to be chosen by God. But your opinion of yourself, you've exalted it over the dealings of Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit on your life. See? Now, the reason why some people, when they speak prophecy, there is some question with it, and you don't always feel completely right about it, is because they're always fighting the Holy Ghost to be obedient to God. If you would obey God and begin to speak as the Lord gives you, you're going to learn to perfect the gift. We just talked about that in the beginning of the service. Lord, teach us how to use the special spiritual endowments that you have given to us so that the body of Christ can be benefited. Amen. See? So you can't expect that you're ever going to get fluid with it and use it in a charismatic way so that it can really bless people. That's what you want it to do. It's for the upbuilding of the church. Prophecy is for the upbuilding of the church, to build it up. So God will teach you and train you how to do that, but you have to be obedient, even if it's just one or two words at a time for a while. You have to be obedient. Why are we talking about this? Because this glory that God, this honor, this renown that God is pouring out on us is wrought by the Holy Spirit. You can write that in your notes at this particular place in the scripture. This renown, this honor, this glory that God is desirous of giving you and I is wrought by the Holy Spirit. And that's why the scripture says, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See? Sons walk in the glory. Amen. Sons walk in the glory. So now it says in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or you could say, or wherever the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we like that. What is liberty? It's emancipation from bondage. Emancipation from bondage. We don't see that acting in pride as bondage. But when you will couple this with this revelation and you realize what God is desirous to bring you into. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of believers kind of shrink from moving into gifts, because God will give a word of knowledge. Sometimes in church, He'll give a word of wisdom, or He'll give tongues and interpretation, or just a prophetic voice will just fling forth in the church. And believers shrink from some of these things sometimes because they're thinking in a religious manner. They're thinking, I'm going to be embarrassed in front of all these people. If you don't ever get over being embarrassed before all these people, then you won't be able to prophesy to the president at a White House function. And you know, that's normal for Christians. I mean, you go back and look at your Bible and study the prophets. The kings sent for the prophet to get a word to know what they needed to do. Now, our kings might not be sending for us, but that don't mean God won't send us to them. That's right. And if you can't get over being embarrassed by your congregation, how are you going to speak out in a public venue to somebody? Amen. A word that needs to be spoken. A prophetic word could cut the heart of someone who's been recruited to be a human bomb for ISIS. If you speak the word of the Lord, you don't think the word of the Lord could cut them in the heart and make them incapable of carrying out their deadly deed? I believe it can. Yes, indeed. Because the word of God is anointed even above His own name. It's capable of doing that. So, you see, ultimately, the voice of the prophet is necessary today. See? That's one of the traits. That's one of the outflows of actually the manifested glory on a believer's life. And the devil has just hoodwinked and fooled the church in many ways by saying these things are no longer necessary today. We're better educated and all of this kind of stuff. Right? And so therefore, we don't need prophets. We don't need healing. We don't need all of that. And that's why the church has taken a back seat in many of these things and are proud to be in certain denominations that preach against it because they believe that they are correct. They believe they're correct. But they're our brothers and sisters. Look at verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So now He's revealing what our part is. It's wrought by the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit is directing you with unveiled face to continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Amen. And it said this is what happens when we do that. we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, watch it, here it is again, who is the Spirit. There it is. It comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So Jesus is not going to be satisfied until this honor, this renown, this glory you and I are immersed into. Amen. That's what he's after. Praise God. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry, so you're engaged in a ministry for this to take place. All right? This is a part of your ministry. Did you see that? This is a part of your ministry to engage in this. Therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry, by the mercy of God granting us favor, benefits, opportunities, especially salvation, we do not get discouraged, spiritless, and despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion. Oh, yeah. See, some folks right now, they're just tired of me preaching this kind of stuff. They don't want to, they should leave that alone. I don't want to be engaged. I don't want to be involved in it. I just want to go home, be with the Lord. No, can't let you do that. Can't die here. You're going to have to leave the church, go join another church if you want to die now. Amen. It's in our statement of faith. I'm just kidding now, but I'm going to say it this way. It's in our statement of faith. We don't believe in funerals. All right. Go with me as well. Let's see here. Thank you, Lord. Go with me as well to verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God. Let's read that again. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Now, what he's referring to is back at the beginning, and God said, "Let there be light," right? And there was light. And it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts." So God has spoken forth for light to be manifested in your heart, to flow out of your heart. You see that? All right? So as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God. So should this be talked about? It sounds like he's saying right here, I'm speaking forth light into your heart so that you will talk about this. I want it to shine forth out of you like a bright light, knowledge of the majesty and the glory of God. That's why the Bible instructs you to testify of the mighty works of God. If you've been healed, tell people you've been healed. Don't wait till the next time you need to be healed to talk about healing. Tell them you've been healed. If God has blessed you financially and or gotten you out of debt, you should talk about those things. God will give you the opportunities to do it. See, people's faith is brought to a place where they can receive when you talk about the goodness of God yourself. You know, you want to help some of these people that you're around, and mainly what you recognize is how far away from God they are. That's the thing you recognize, and that's the thing you talk about. But you're not talking about what God's done for you. See? You got to whet their appetite so you can get them where you are. Don't complain about where they are. Do what you can do to whet their appetite so you can get them to where you are. Then you can have a great friendship in the things of God. That's what you really want. Can't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Now it says here that this light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In verse 7, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God. See, when that begins to come through your life, they have to acknowledge this of God, because you weak little humanoid, you are not capable of that in yourself. Right? See? You're not capable of that in yourself. But they'll have to recognize, man, that's God. And that's what God's after. That's why he allowed us to be a part of this. It's not from ourselves, but it's from God. Amen? So this is wrought by the Holy Spirit. So you and I are going to have to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. We've gotten some good examples of it, haven't we? Of how the Holy Spirit can lead us. Well, we need to be aware of that on a day-to-day basis. We don't need to be the kind of people that always talk about what God did some time ago. Now, I said you need to give your testimony because you've had some experiences through your life to the unbeliever, but I'm saying that we need to also be talking about how God is leading us presently, day to day in our lives. You can talk about that every day. You really can. You can talk about how God is leading you every day, because there isn't a day that goes by that the Holy Spirit's not leading you in some way. Amen. So you need to talk about it. You need to acknowledge it to whoever you can acknowledge it to that's close by, you know, and you may use it to witness to an unbeliever. You know, you may say, the Lord is leading me right now to tell you this. And you just start talking to him. Unbelievers are hungry for the supernatural, and unfortunately the devil is giving them a lot of opportunities for supernatural stuff in his kingdom, in the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And they're seeing very little of it in regard to what God wants to do in their lives. And it's primarily because we're so shy and so timid about being led of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to know who the person is to give them a word from the Lord. That makes it even that much more legitimate, because you're a stranger to them.
Amen.
Amen. So you're going to be well, the word is going to be received. It's up to them to act on it or not act on it. But your responsibility and mine is to let the Holy Spirit do a complete work in bringing this to pass in our lives. Let him do a complete work. Listen to him. Amen. Let him be your best friend, like Catherine Kuhlman said. Let him be your best friend. I mean, several years ago, Benny Hinn touched on that when he wrote his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And he talked about how close he walked with the Holy Spirit and everything, and how he got to the place in ministry where he is. And he was somewhat touched by Catherine Kuhlman's ministry and served under it, and was mentored a little bit in that, and that anointing, he was ripe and ready for it, and it fell on him. Now, it could have fell on somebody else, and actually, by degree, it did fall on others. It did fall on others, right? There were other ministers that were a part of that group that anointing fell on, and they used their gifts, you know, and God has brought forth healing through their obedience in different ways, some in music and some in other things. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. So let's pay attention to to the Holy Spirit. Let's listen to Him, and let's become endearing, you know, to the Holy Spirit in this, and talk to Him about it. You can actually ask the Holy Spirit, you know, teach me more about this. Help me to see more clearly what these scriptures are pointing to and how I am to engage. Is there something, is there a regiment, look, is there a regiment, Lord, that you would like me to follow so that I can be more precise and I can be more consistent in giving myself to this concept so that you can maximize what you want to do in my life, right? See? And you know, in churches like ours, we teach you to make your professions of faith every day. Starting your day out, we teach you that you need to read your Bible, right? And you need to have those times with the Lord where you talk to Him, and practice His presence, you know, so that, you know, you can just talk to Him at any given moment, and you're quick and able to hear from Him in any given moment. Amen? That's necessary in this day and hour. It really is. And God's looking for someone that He can use today.
Amen.
Yes, He is. So, we've looked at how that as believers, we are brought into this honor. We're brought into this place of being renowned before God. And this also refers back to what we were sharing in the series before this about the reflective glory of God being seen on our lives, because that majestic divine rule that we're involved in, this is really what that term is describing, that reflecting divine majestic rule. This is what this is referring to. When you're engaged in this and you're operating in it, that's exactly what the Lord wants to see on your life. See, God is working His plan in the earth realm. And He's doing it through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is doing it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's inspiring you and I. It's all a corporate, cooperative effort on the part of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ. That's how God's working His plan in the earth realm. So we're all playing a role, a part of that. There isn't anything insignificant that you're engaged in when you're obeying the Lord. It's not insignificant, because, you know, everything has to be seen as a seed. Everything has to be seen as a seed. So if I obey God, even if it's a gesture to show kindness, I'm sowing a seed. People are so sensitive. You just don't understand what just a random act of kindness, you know, and they say random act of kindness, but really when you get right down to it, it's not random. It's deliberate, because the Holy Spirit leads believers to do what we do. Amen? And even though we may not fully understand it, amen, God's using it. And that someone's going to be benefited by it. And if someone's benefited by it, then the kingdom of darkness is being quenched that much more. Because if they don't get the benefit of it, then the devil's able to lie to them and bring destruction to their lives. Amen. So we're quenching that darkness with every act of obedience. Amen. Listen, Satan is being forced out of the heavens because Jesus is coming soon. Our obedience on earth is putting pressure on His kingdom. Jesus Himself is coming and He's putting pressure on the kingdom. Literally, I believe that when I say Jesus is coming, I literally believe that that place that He's prepared for us is in descent to us. I really believe that. You know, how long does it take God to do anything? You think God's still working on our mansion? You know, come on. I mean, God said, let there be light, and they didn't come up with some type of a board meeting and to discuss, you know, what the light would do and how long it would take for it to develop. It just happened. That kingdom of God is in descent. It's coming, and the devil knows it. And so he's being pressured from above, and he's being pressured from down here below. Now, you know what happens, don't you? Whenever the devil is pressured, the serpent strikes. When they lit the fire and the serpent was in it, it didn't strike everybody else. It struck Paul. So it's going to strike the anointing. It's going to strike where the light is. It's going to strike where the power is. It's going to strike where the glory is. So all you got to do is just be aware that you're not engaged in this without some conflict. Amen. That the enemy will do his best to come against you. But we've already got the victory. Amen. We've got the victory. Just shake it off. Amen. And go right on and obey the Lord. Isn't that right? Paul just shook the serpent off into the fire, and he wasn't harmed at all by it. So no need for us to be fearful of ourselves being harmed in any way, right? No deadly thing shall harm you. Praise the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Praise the Lord. So we are well protected. That's a part of our salvation. From temporal and material destruction, we're protected from that. We're delivered from that. So just trust God and just walk out in obedience. Walk out in the faith of the word of God that comes to you. Walk in that faith. Don't think in yourself what you can do. Walk in the faith of and the encouragement of the word that comes to you in that moment, and you'll fully comply with the Holy Spirit, and God will be glorified. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Hallelujah. Praise God.